This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The history of almost every American city features a series of boom and bust cycles. Milwaukee in the 1950s was a bustling manufacturing metropolis, but the city's fortunes fell in subsequent decades, and while the downtown has made a recovery, other aspects of the city are still a work in progress.
It is a story Mick Cornett recognizes. Cornett served four terms as mayor of Oklahoma City from 2004 to 2018. That city was virtually on life support in the 1990s, but is a completely different place as a result of several key policy decisions and some specialized taxes voters approved there. Cornett believes it is a recipe other mid-sized metropolitan areas could follow as well. His new book is called The Next American City, and Mick Cornett joins us on the line. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Great to be on with you.
So I actually want to start this interview by asking you about the end of your book. How do you see the story of mid-sized metros and Oklahoma City in particular paralleling your own story? I mean, this is about reinvention, isn't it?
Well, it is. I went through a period of my life. I thought I had the greatest job in the world. It's what I always wanted to do growing up, and that was be a television sportscaster. And I was living the dream, and at some point, especially after the bombing that took place in Oklahoma City, and I just realized I wanted to do something different with the second half of my professional life. I was assigned to go cover City Hall, kind of fell in love with local government, felt like that's where a person could make a difference. And I left television, started my own business, ran for city council, and then ultimately served as four terms as the mayor. So, yeah, it's kind of been a reinvention, and I now that I'm not the mayor, I've got this book out, but I'm looking at, what adventure do I have left in me?
Well, and so when we look at cities like Oklahoma City and other cities its size, the Milwaukees of the world, but also the Buffaloes and other places, what you're really writing about is their ability to reinvent themselves.
Well, that's right. Everybody loves the rags to riches story, and almost every city out there is always evolving. You're either going one direction or the other. Oklahoma City's probably come as far as fast as any city in the country, but that's because it had a long way to go. I mean, you go back to 1990, and Oklahoma City probably had the worst economy in the country, and things are different now. And I watched some of my predecessors work, learned from them along the way, and then tried to stand on their shoulders and move the city forward. But cities can't ever, think that they've solved an issue because, tomorrow there'll be new issues to solve and you got to keep moving. It's one of the frustrations of creating a city and a better city is that you never reach your destination. You've got to always keep planning and always keep inventing. And here's what's interesting to me, Mitch, going forward, is that over the next couple of decades, you're going to see these mid-sized cities like Oklahoma City and Milwaukee have great opportunities to attract the millennial generation and the generation coming in just behind it. And what it appears is that they are more attracted to cities that size than the big cities, New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. They want to be able to afford a house. They don't want to spend their hours in traffic congestion. They're looking for a better quality of life, a more urban environment, less auto-centric lifestyle. And that's where opportunities like Milwaukee and Oklahoma City have opportunities to kind of continue to plan purposely about what type of cities we want to have.
Right. You were talking about where Oklahoma City was, say, 25 or 30 years ago. For folks who haven't been there, can you kind of contrast what it looked like in 1990 or 95 with what it looks like today?
Yeah, it was desolate. I mean, the downtown core was just emptied out. There were some tall buildings, people worked there, but at 5 o'clock when people went home, there was no nightlife. There was one hotel in downtown Oklahoma City, and it was struggling. Very few people lived downtown. There were no restaurants, no retail, and all of the life of the city was out of the suburbs. And we became a suburb of nothing, and the core was dying or was dead. And we had a business-minded mayor who realized we had to invest in ourselves. And so he passed an initiative that kind of started reinventing from a capital perspective in the inner city, amenities to bring people downtown. And it was a game-changing event. And ultimately, I think even though, even today, most people, don't live downtown. A lot of people do, but most people don't. people generally care about their neighborhood and they care about their downtown. There's an emotional attachment to the core of the city, and that's very important to get people to buy into some of the changes that are necessary. Because, you know, this highly educated 20-somethings, the group of people that I think all mid-sized cities are hoping to attract, they're highly selective. They're looking for a vibrant urban core. They want a walkable downtown and walkable entertainment districts and things to do. They want to be culturally relevant. And, you know, Milwaukee and a handful of other cities are set up to succeed if we do it right.
Right. So, I mean, I want to ask you about taxes, because I know you describe yourself as a small government conservative, and that seems pretty par for the course for Oklahoma. And yet it sounds like many of the successes Oklahoma City has claimed in the past couple of decades have come as a result of local government and sometimes business leaders being able to go to voters and making the case for raising money to do things. So, you know, what's the secret sauce? What's the argument that really resonates with people that makes them want to invest?
Well, I believe in efficient government and doing what you say you're going to do. And I think one of the success stories in Oklahoma City is that local government has developed a certain level of trust with the citizens. And we've largely used this taxation principle for capital structures. And people in Oklahoma City seem to have differentiated between the type of taxes they're willing to consider and the type they don't like. They like these capital programs where the taxation is for a certain number of years and then the tax will go away. We don't use debt in that type of funding formula. In other words, we collect the sales tax and then start the process of building these amenities. And so, you know, debt doesn't accumulate. And in a very conservative political environment, people in Oklahoma appreciate that aspect. But people just want, you know, they want their money's worth, and they want elected leaders who do what they say they're going to do. I mean, it's not complicated, but it's not universal. And I think that's one of the reasons that Oklahoma City has been so successful with its initiatives.
How important do you think it is for a mid-sized metro to have what basically amounts to a brand for itself, you know, to be known nationally or internationally for something or in some way?
Well, it's critical. And, you know, unfortunately, cities don't really control their brand or are not in complete control of their brand. You know, we had been branded by tragedy. When I was elected mayor in 2004, I used to travel and talk about Oklahoma City, and I could see on people's faces, the moment I said Oklahoma City, they had that image of the bombing from 1995. Then a tornado went through the edge of our city in 1999, and it was called the Oklahoma City Tornado. And so you have these horrific events that put a negative image on our brand. And so that's when I started going to the NBA and NHL offices in New York and starting talking to them about trying to get a major league city in Oklahoma City so that we could, a major league team in Oklahoma City, so we could start to work on our brand and get us associated with something positive. I mean, Milwaukee is well branded. I mean, through the decades, it's very strong in pop culture and people know it for different reasons. And that awareness is something that Milwaukee can build on and continues to.
Do you think are cities our size, Milwaukee's and Oklahoma City's and others, are they more susceptible to these boom and bust cycles that have happened over the years than New York or Los Angeles?
Well, probably, because maybe the economies are probably a little more similar. You know, you need to have a diversified economy to the extent you can. And in Oklahoma City, we spent, you know, 25 years trying to diversify, and it feels like we've finally done that. We had been such an oil and gas community for decades, and now we've invested in aviation and biomedical and tourism and things like that. So having a diversified economy is critical to avoiding the bust. You're always going to have the national economy being somewhat cyclical, too. So you don't need a local economy that's overly cyclical as well. I think that's critical, because if you go into any city and you look at the architecture and you look at the most important aspects of the built environment, generally they're built in the good times. And you can kind of look at architecture in a big city and kind of determine when they had their good times and when they didn't.
I'm curious whether this phenomenon exists in Oklahoma as well, and you know, you'd be in a good position to kind of understand it. Is there a rural-urban divide that exists? I guess the question I have is whether, you know, you need to bring the rest of the state in on ensuring the success or the success of its major metropolitan areas, and how you convince, you know, rural Oklahoma that what's good for Oklahoma City is good for them, or in a place like Milwaukee, you know, Milwaukee and rural Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think there's a rural-urban divide in almost every state in the country, and you know, we've seen that in Oklahoma as well. You know, there is a role that the big cities play, and there is a role for smaller and rural communities to play. And what we need, I think, you know, at least part of the answer, and I'm not saying this is, you know, something that's easy to solve, but what we need is elected officials who are trying to bring people together. I think it's important that, you know, we don't continue to divide up at every opportunity. You know, we have so much partisan politics and so much divisiveness at the national level. At some point, we've got to come together, and hopefully that can be at the local level. And so people, regardless of whether they're urban or rural or whether they're Republicans or Democrats, can realize that our community, our state, is not going to go forward unless we get more people pulling on the same rope. But the funding at the state capitol, I know, is critical. And, you know, on an annual basis, it seems like there's rural legislators and urban legislators who are fighting needlessly and not in the best interest of the state as a whole.
All right. So I am curious where you see the story of Oklahoma City's civic weight loss effort fitting in this bigger picture.
Well, that was an awareness campaign that I launched 10 years ago when we were showing up on the list of the most obese cities in the country. And I think as an awareness campaign, it's done a tremendous work. And now, you know, here 10 years ago, we're seeing our health statistics in the city improve. So, I mean, that's been a journey that I learned a lot along the way and wrote about in the book. I think it's an example of how you can take something that's a negative statistic or a negative image or something that's tough to overcome, make it positive and try to make it in a whimsical way, something that people can rally around. I believe positive energy is important if you're going to institute change. And when you're talking about obesity, it's hard to find positive energy, and we were able to do that.
There's something in the idea of leading by example as well.
Well, yes, I suppose so. And I've had people say that my own weight loss journey was a critical part of that story, and I suppose that's true. But, you know, I think some things, you know, require a conversation, and some things we don't want to talk about. And I think obesity is one of those issues we're not comfortable talking about normally. And what I did was just I went to the zoo and I stood in front of the elephants and I told the entire city I was putting them on a diet and we were going to lose 1 million pounds. And sort of the whimsical nature of that, I think, put a positive spin on a very difficult issue. But it created a conversation. Suddenly you had a community that was talking about a very tough issue. And talking about, obviously, is the first step in addressing it.
Mick Cornett is the former mayor of Oklahoma City. He fell short in his bid for governor this year. He's also the author of the new book, The Next American City, The Big Promise of Our Mid-Size Metros. And we should note that despite a lifetime of living in Oklahoma, he is a lifelong Green Bay Packers fan.